to welcome each one here this morning. For the sake of our visitors, our theme this year is working together as God's people. And this morning, I want to share a message. It's time for a test. I suspect that most of you, when you were in school and the teacher said, okay, put your books away, get out your paper and pencil, it's time for a test, there was a certain amount of nervousness. Some of us more than others, especially if we'd been playing around and not paying attention and those kind of things. But I want to turn to the book of 1 John this morning. John has a way of writing that is really probing. He has a way of asking questions and of stating things that just drills right down deep inside of us. And I think you'll understand as we look at this what all is related here to our theme and how this all fits together. But I want us to realize, and I want to say this, there's always a danger. I understand that. When we preach something like this, the danger is that those that have sensitive consciences feel convicted and just feel just overwhelmed. And those that don't care, it goes right over their head. And so I want us this morning to especially ask the Spirit of God to speak to our own hearts according to our needs. Because I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. Not at all. But at the same time, I don't want us to look at these test questions and just pass them over and say, oh yeah, everything's great. Good. I know this. I got this one. So I want us to think about that this morning. So what are our questions we want to think about? When we have a test, who gives the questions? The teacher, right? So when we're thinking about spiritual life and growth, who's giving the questions? God is giving us the questions. And even though John is writing this, he's running the pen, you might say, God is speaking through John to our hearts. So God is asking these questions to us this morning. Now, who has the answers? God. God has the answers, right? So when we take this test, what we're wanting to see is, are my answers to God's questions the same answers that God is giving to those questions? You know, it's always interesting. Steve was talking about his work a little bit and some of the situations that come up. And it's always interesting if you are able to talk to the opposite sides in a discussion or disagreement, you'll probably find out that the opinion they had of themselves and of what they had to say was a little different than what the other person saw, right? So, you know, we've got to be careful that we're not just giving our opinion, we're looking for the answers that God is giving. You know, in the Old Testament, Isaiah said, you know, you people say that we're doing really well, everything's good, on and on and on, and God says, when I look at you, all I see is wounds and bruises and pussy sores. Whoa, that's a lot of difference, isn't it? Same thing happened in Revelation. Remember? The church at Ephesus said, oh, we're... I'm forgetting which church it was for sure. But they said, oh, we're doing really, really good. Everything's great. We love the Lord and things are happening. And God said, when I look at you, you're poor. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're blind. You're naked. Oh, wait a minute. Something's not adding up here, is it? I mean, they're saying everything's real good, and God's saying everything's not good. There's nothing good. So, you know, we've got to look at this test thing, and we've got to say, well, what's happening here? Are my answers correct? Am I answering these questions correctly? If my answer disagrees with the score sheet, what happens? I'm wrong, right? I remember there were several instances in school where the score sheet was wrong. That when you went back and looked things up, the score sheet was actually wrong. But with God, that doesn't happen. God's answers are always the correct answers. By the way, who gives the final grade? God. In our lesson this morning, what was Paul saying? If you notice, there were a number of times in those verses that Paul said, my whole deal is about pleasing God. I want God to give me a good... I don't care what kind of grade you guys give me. I want God to give me a good grade. I want Him to approve of what I do. Now, for most of us, that's a difficult thing. Because it's a whole lot easier to want people to like us than it is to deal with God giving us a good grade. Okay? So we got to remember, God's the one giving the final grade. Does God ever grade on the curve? You remember those classes in school where the teacher gave a test and the highest grade on the test was a 60% or something like that, and the teacher said, whoa, either I didn't teach this stuff right or something's wrong here. I'm grading on the curve. So 60 is going to be an A, and it's going to drop off from there, right? Does God do that? Afraid not. Now, God has grace and God has mercy, but God doesn't change His answers just because we don't measure up, does He? So we want to look at these. There's six test questions from 1 John. And by the way, if you read the book of 1 John, you'll find out he's got a lot more than this. But these are six that I want to look at this morning. First of all, our fellowship with God. Now, if I, and I'm not asking you this morning, but God is asking you, and the Holy Spirit is asking you, Do I have fellowship with God? Now, if we say, see what he's saying here? John's saying, look, I say I have fellowship with God. But God's looking at things maybe a little bit differently. Okay? So he says, if we say we have fellowship with Him, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Whoa, wait a minute, John. That's awful strong language there. Wait a minute. That doesn't quite fit today, does it? John says, look, here's how it is. If we say we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness. Now, what's the problem? Can God walk in darkness? Why not? Because God is light. God is light. He is light. So where He is light. So if we're walking in darkness, we're not walking with God, right? I mean, that, you know, how hard is that to figure out? If we're in here in this room and it's lighted and we're walking in the light, then we're not walking in darkness, physically. If the lights go out, then we walk in darkness, physically. And he's given us a spiritual lesson. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with God, I have fellowship with God, my God is so awesome, and we're saying all kinds of stuff that's coming out of our mouth, but we're walking in darkness, we're lying. I mean, that's what God's saying to us. So we've got to look at this. How am I walking? If we walk in the light, if we're in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So he's saying, first of all, we've got this test of our fellowship with God. Now, I hear a lot of people in our American Christian world today talking about their awesome fellowship with God. But I'm having some questions because I see them walking in a lot of darkness. Now, I'm not judging, I have some questions. I'm wondering. We have to answer that question between us and God. Am I in fellowship with God? Now, what happened when Adam was in fellowship with God in the garden? What happened? Okay, they walked together. What else happened? Two things. They walked together and they talked together. They had this companionship and this communication that was going on. Is that happening with you? You know, is God, are you on a long distance relationship with God? You know, about once a week or maybe twice a week you give Him a call and you say, I need help. I need something. Or are you in fellowship with God where you are walking and talking with God continuously on a regular basis? I think it's important for us to ask ourselves. Now, this is a test. Here's the correct answer. Walk in the light. That's what John says. See that? If we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with God. This is the correct answer. If we're going to walk in fellowship with God, we're going to walk in the light. Light represents truth. Light represents life. Light represents the presence of God. Light represents a number of things. It represents illumination, understanding. Now, it represents a number of things. So when we say we're walking in the light, is that really happening? So, if our answer to this question of our fellowship with God is not walking in the light, we've got the wrong answer. You know, my fellowship with God is not just about what I say about my fellowship with God. My fellowship with God comes down to how I walk, how I live, what goes on in my life and experience, what happens with me. So the first question is about our fellowship with God. Now, the second is our participation in sin. When you look at these verses here, and they're familiar verses with most of us, 1 John 1, 8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's an old expression that's caught red-handed. You know what that expression means? I did a little research. It comes from the 15th century. And the idea there was that if someone had murdered someone, or if they had stolen an animal from someone and butchered it, and the blood was on their hands, caught red-handed. Now, we use that phrase to just mean that it's obvious that it's happened, right? What could a thief do if he had stolen an animal from your farm and he had butchered it and the blood was on his hands and the dead animal was laying there beside him? What could he do? What? He could confess. What else could he do? Okay, he could make rest. What else could he do? He could deny it. He could say, I didn't do it. I got the blood from somewhere else. I mean, I cut my hand or, He could deny it, couldn't he? You know what? That's what most of us do with our sin. This verse, I studied this verse out a number of years ago, and it really struck me. If we say that we have no sin, that means we have it in our hand. God catches us red-handed. And we say, I don't have any sin. And God says, oh yes you do. I got it red-handed. Now listen. How many of you believe in sinless perfection? Anybody here believe in sinless perfection in this life, that you can get to a point in your spiritual life where you do not sin anymore? Is that possible? Any of you think that's possible? You're shaking your heads no, but it's not, Okay. Now, how many times have you said in your life that I do not know of any sin in my life? Now, I'm not saying that we just live in sin. We know we live in sin, and so we let everything go, and that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we have sin. Every one of us. Every one of us. And we need to be asking God to show us what that sin is so that we can deal with it. I guarantee you, if God deals you a hard blow in your life and you fall on your knees and on your face before God and all of a sudden ask God to open your heart and your mind to see, well, I'll tell you what, He'll show you sin. I know. And it gets big and it gets huge and it gets bad. But you know what we do most of the time? We close our hand and put it in our pocket and we say, I don't have any sin. You know why? You know, I have talked about this before. What we do is we have a list. And our list is a checklist. Remember what the Pharisees said? I don't do what this guy does. I don't take too many taxes from people, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't. He had his list all checked off. But what did Jesus say about the Pharisees? Sin, sin, sin. I caught you red-handed. So, we need to be realistic about this. How do we deal with this test of our participation, our relationship with sin? The correct answer is confess. What do we do when we confess? Is confession naming our sin? Agreeing with God, exactly. When we confess our sin, we're agreeing with God. God says, this is a sin. I caught it in your hand. It's red-handed. And we say, yes, God, that's a sin. I confess it to you. I want victory. I want help. I want deliverance. I want the blood of Jesus to cover that sin in my life. What happens as long as we say, that's not a sin? We lie. We deceive ourselves. The truth isn't in us. And we don't have forgiveness. We don't have cleansing. Now, if you want to do something really tough, just spend some time before the Lord, reading in His Word and asking Him, Lord, show me. Show me in my own heart what kind of sins I have in my hand. If you pray that with your heart, He'll do it. And I personally think that's a that's a prayer that we need to pray. Now John says in chapter 5, verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. So he's saying anything less than the righteousness of God is sin. Now you want to say you don't have any sin? You see what happens when we say we have no sin? We're making ourselves equal with God. The perfect one. So we've got to look at this test and what our answer is. Okay, our relationship with sin. Not only do we tend to deny sin, we try to hide. Remember Achan? Achan stole those Babylonish garments. He took them back to his house and he put them under the rug and in his tent and he... What good did they do him? The money and the clothes, they weren't supposed to take anything and destroy it all. And he had it under the floor of his tent. He was trying to hide, to cover. In chapter 1, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned. Now see, there's two things he says there. If we say that we have no sin, that's talking about in our hand. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. So to say that we are not sinful people, that we don't have a sinful heart, is making God a liar. And he goes on in the next verse. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ, the righteous one. What's the correct answer? Bring my sins to Jesus. Bring my sins to Jesus. There's cleansing. There's deliverance. There's victory. There's forgiveness. Romans 3:23. All have sinned. Correct answer. All have sinned. Is there anybody on earth that is exempt from this? No. All. A-L-L. That's you and me and everybody else. Nobody gets off the hook. Alright? Okay. Now here's another one. You're noticing that these things all kind of fit together. They're not just running off by themselves somewhere. John's really pounding on this. It's getting a little hard on us, you know? What about our intimacy test? Chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. I'll tell you what, this guy John, he's a wild man. Calling people liars, telling them they're deceived. I mean, what is up with this guy? Who does he think he is? If we say, I know Him. Now that word know is intimate relationship. Not just saying, oh yeah, I know who He is. But he says, but whoso keepeth His word In Him verily is this relationship, this love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him, that we are intimate with Him. Here's how we know that, if we keep His Word. So He's saying, how's this intimacy thing with God? You say, I know God. Now, you might know someone that's important by name or by face or even by acquaintance. But are you part of their inner circle? Are you part of the ones that they communicate with when they're making decisions or working through problems or whatever? You see, there's a big difference in how intimate we are with someone, how close we are with them. If you were to rate your closeness with God on a scale of 1 to 10, where would it be today? You know what? God wants it to be a 10. He absolutely does. He wants us to be close. He wants us to be in touch. He wants us to be in Him. Intimate. Totally involved and included and related with Him. And He says, if we keep His Word, that's how we become intimate. We hear His Word, we put that Word in our heart, and we try to live that Word. Now, what's the correct answer here? Keep His Word. Keep His Word. Now, be careful. Be careful. That's not church ordinances. We're not talking about I follow the statement of faith and practice perfectly. We're talking about keeping the Word of God. What God has said to us. And it's important to be obedient to authority. I'm not minimizing that. But that's not our checklist. We don't just go down and say, well, yeah, I dress this way and I do this and I do this and I don't do that, so I'm good. No, no, no. There's a whole lot more there. A whole lot more. How close are we with God? Is His Word the guide for our lives? Is His Word what really is important to us? Or are we just acting on our own out here and saying we're close with God? Our light test. Chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. He that saith he is in the light. Remember? He said if we're claiming we have fellowship with God, we need to walk in the light. Well, now he comes back and hits this again. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. Even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. He doesn't cause others to stumble, is what he's saying. That's not what he's doing. When we hate each other, when we despise each other, misuse each other, we give occasions for stumbling. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother walks in darkness, right? We can't do both things at the same time. You know? You can't walk in here in the light and be in this bubble of darkness. No. You're in the light or you're in darkness. And he says, if we don't love our brother, we're walking in darkness. It doesn't matter what we say. We can talk all day long. We can do all kinds of things and say all kinds of things and tell how much we love to walk with God and so on. But if we don't love our brother, what does he say? He says we're in darkness. We're in darkness, even till now. What's the correct answer? Live in the light. Live in the light. When we live in the light, the love of God flows from our hearts, from our lives. Because He's light, He's love. They're not separable. Here's the love test. Chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. John! Liar again! What's the matter with this guy? Always calling people liars. For he that loveth not his... Now look at this. This is quite a probing statement. And I've thought about this a lot. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen. You mean the one that said those bad things about me? You mean the one that did that to me? You mean the one that doesn't treat me nice? What does he say? He that loveth not his brother, and sisters included here, that's not gender specific, whom he hath seen. You know, it's interesting. I find this interesting. It is so easy for us to love the people that are on the other side of the world. Where we have the problems right in here, right? That's where... But that's not what he says. He didn't say, whoever doesn't love his brothers all over the world. He says, whoever doesn't love his brother whom he has seen. That's the ones that I'm looking at. And that you're looking at. If we say we love God and don't love the brother... Now look at what he says. This is interesting too. First he says, if I say I love God and I hate my brother, well, I don't hate anybody. But then he puts it on the other side. And he said, he that loveth not his brother. So the word he's using there, hate, is just not loving. Do you notice in our lesson this morning what Paul said to the Thessalonians? And if you read every one of Paul's letters, you'll find the same thing. He said, you are very dear to me. You are very dear to me. You matter to me. I love you, is what he was saying. And he expressed that and he shared that with all the churches he went to. John says, okay, if you don't love your brother who you've seen, you don't love God. Ooh, ouch, 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 ouch. That's pretty stiff, isn't it? Pretty strong. It whacks right down into where we live. He who loves God, love his brother also. Makes sense, doesn't it? If I'm God's child, and you're God's child, and we're both loving God, then something's got to happen between us too, doesn't it? So what's the correct answer? Love our brother. Love our brother. That's the correct answer. Is that what's happening? Or am I just saying, I can love God, I don't have to... What they do doesn't matter to me. Who they are, so what? You know, no. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Wow. That's quite a question. The answer is, love our brother. I'd like to have a stand. And I'm not sharing those things with you because I have done so well. In fact, the Lord spoke to me again as I prepared this message and again as I shared this message. But it's not about what we say, it's what about the correct answer is. And are we on the same page with God? Are we given the right answers, not according to me or according to you, but are we given the right answers according to God? And what is His grade going to be on our lives in the end? Now John said some pretty strong things. He said, if we say this and it's not happening, we're a liar. We're walking in darkness. We're not where we say we are at all. So I just want us to bow our heads this morning. I'm just going to have a little quiet time. Let the Spirit speak to us. And let's make some commitments to God. Let's say, God, I really want to be close with You. I really want to love my brother in spite of all they've done to me. I want to show Your love. You know what? That's what God did. God loved us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. And we say we can't love somebody? We haven't met with God the way we need to. God, speak to our hearts this morning. May Your Spirit work in each one of us. Lord, that as we think of this theme of working together as brothers and sisters, that we might realize how important it is for us to be able to give the correct answers in these tests, so that Your name can be made great. And Lord, as I give a few moments here for meditation and for Your Spirit to speak to our hearts, I just pray that Your Spirit would speak to my heart, to each of our hearts, according to our needs. We'll give You the glory. I'm just going to ask the ushers to have a mic ready. If anybody has anything that the Spirit has really spoken to you this morning and you want to confess something, you want to share a need, you want us to pray for you, just feel free. Raise your hand. The ushers will bring you a mic. Father, we thank You for this time that You've spoken to us again. We ask You continue to speak to our hearts. Allow Your Word to change us, to make us what You would want us to be. We'll give You the glory and praise. Dismiss us now with Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.